All week, we've been looking at the potential for different sources of energy in the United States, and today we'll wrap up with hydropower. Some communities like Juneau, Alaska, get the vast majority of their electricity from water. Overall, it accounted for about 7% of U.S. electrical generation last year. There is potential for a lot more, but it doesn't come without controversy between hydropower operators and conservationists. Joining us now is Dan Riker. He's with the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment and a former Assistant Secretary of Energy. Dan, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Now, from what we can tell, there's not really a lot of appetite for building new dams in the United States. Do you think that hydro can expand its reach without them?
Well, there's two things to know about that. One, we've got over 90,000 dams in the U.S., and actually only about 2,500 of them make electricity today. So one of the new areas is powering non-powered dams, and there's a fair amount of that underway now. The other is, while hydro is about 7% of U.S. electricity generation, it's about 90% of all the U.S. electricity storage. We talk a lot about batteries and the like, but about 90% of U.S. electricity storage, which we need increasingly for intermittent solar and wind, is provided by something called pump storage. And there's a fair amount of that also being built. So hydro's kind of got a different angle in the United States. We're not building new dams, but we're powering non-powered dams and we're building pump storage facilities.
Okay, so let's talk about pump storage now. We've been talking about innovations all week and different sources of energy. In hydro, there is this thing called pump storage. I know a lot of people are excited about it, where the water moves between two different reservoirs. And as you said, it acts like a giant battery. Can you explain pump storage and what the potential might be?
Yes, pump storage essentially involves a reservoir behind a dam, and on an adjacent hill, high above that lower reservoir, you build another reservoir, basically a pond. And when you have more electricity than you need at a given time of the day, say a very sunny, very windy day, you can pump water from the lower reservoir to the upper reservoir. When demand goes up, the sun goes down, the wind stops blowing, you run that water back downhill through those same pumps, which have been turned into generators, and you make electricity. For several decades, it's been the way we've stored electricity in our electric grid. And about 90% of U.S. Electricity storage comes from pump storage, a whole number of plants around the country. We're focused a lot these days, as we should be, on batteries for electricity storage, but the vast, vast percentage of current storage is from pump storage, and new pump storage projects are being built around the U.S.
We can't skirt the environmental issues here because hydro, of course, it's clean, carbon-free, essentially, but it dams up rivers. Many groups say it's responsible for destroying entire ecosystems. But what do you think the relationship between hydro operators and conservation groups looks like as our need for clean power grows in the face of climate change?
Well, I think about hydropower as both a climate solution and a conservation challenge. In fact, that is the name of a process we led at Stanford University for the last 3 years that brought owners of hydropower dams, the National Hydropower Association, together with environmental and conservation groups. And they sat down and said to themselves, you know, in the light of the climate crisis, what role should hydropower play? And more broadly, what role should the 90,000 plus U.S. dams play in the U.S.? It was a tough negotiation, but they did reach a major agreement in October of last year. And it's being implemented as we speak. It is built around what we call the three R's for the nation's 90,000 dams. Rehabilitate some of them for safety, retrofit some of them for power, meaning the non-powered dams, power some of those, and remove some of them for conservation. There are a number of dams in the U.S. which no longer serve a useful purpose or face very serious safety challenges that are too expensive to address. The great news in all of this is in the recent federal infrastructure bill, we got several billion dollars to implement what we call the three R's agreement that we reached in October of last year.
Why do you think these two traditional foes, I mean, for generations they'd been fighting each other, why do you think they were willing to come to the table?
I think they've come to the table, or they came to the table, because they realized that hydropower does provide a useful source of low carbon electricity, so good to address climate change. They also realized that pump storage, one aspect of hydropower, provides a significant percentage of the electricity storage we need in the U.S. to store intermittent solar and wind. So in the face of the climate crisis, a number of environmental conservation groups said we should give hydropower and pump storage a second look. And as they did that, we all realized that most of the dams in the U.S. aren't for hydropower. They for other purposes, flood control, water storage, navigation. And they said we should look at those dams as well. So out of this 2.5-3 year negotiation came this major agreement. And now, very recently, several billion dollars to begin to implement it from the federal government.
Dan Riker at the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment and a former Assistant Secretary of Energy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.